Great. So I don't have my glasses this morning, so that's great. Look at that grand large print. So I'll read from the screen along with you. Luke chapter 11, 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend. Yet because of this man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And we'll leave reading of God's word there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your instruction, especially now in this subject of prayer. Lord, thank you for that disciple that asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." And thank you for your teaching, Lord. Help us as we look through these verses and gain some insight from them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm sure you'll agree with me, but I'll remind you anyway, that one of the Christian's greatest spiritual needs is prayer. Alistair Begg, a pastor and writer, wrote, "My trouble in prayer is not only that I forget to whom I'm speaking, and it is that often I'm really not sure what to say." Forgetting to whom I'm speaking and not really sure what to say. It can happen to us all, can't it? But here in these verses we read together this morning, we are reminded to whom we pray and basic things we can pray for. We could do a whole series all summer on the topic of the Lord's Prayer, couldn't we? But this morning, we're only going to brush the surface, as it were. So these opening verses of our text this morning must be some of the most quoted and well-known in the Bible. Even more so maybe than Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Or even more than John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." "Our Father, hallowed be your name." I'd say a good number of you here could probably even quote it from memory, the Lord's Prayer. And I actually know of one person at least who could actually quote it in Irish. But I won't ask her to do it now. Yes, the Lord's Prayer. It's such a well-known text, isn't it? Especially the one from Matthew. This is a shortened version here, but the one in Matthew. So, often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. In Luke, we have the shorter version of the other written record of the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, which is in Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13. And this was given earlier in Jesus' ministry in the Sermon on the Mount. So yeah, one of Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, after Jesus had finished praying, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John," that'd be John the Baptist, "taught his disciples." And even here from verse 1, we see three reasons we should pray. 1, Jesus prayed. 2, John the Baptist prayed. And 3, the disciples prayed. They saw their need to pray, asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. So the Matthew account does have some more detail, and as we said, it was taught by Jesus during the Sermon on the Mount discourse. And he started off by saying in Matthew 6, verse 9, he said, "This is how you should pray." And here in this account in Luke 11, 12, Jesus said to his disciples after they requested, "Lord, teach us to pray." He said to them, "When you pray, say." Now notice that there, that word when you pray, not if you pray. The Lord expects us to pray. He says, "When you pray, say." And prayer is foundational for the growth as a Christian. Reading and studying God's word and prayer are two essentials of the Christian life. We have personal prayer, where we pray between ourselves individually and the Lord and God. And then we have corporate prayer, where we come together, like these prayer meetings we've been advertising in our announcements. Like on Thursday night, we'll be coming together to pray. And on Sunday mornings, we come together and pray before the service. They're corporate prayer times. Can I encourage you to get along to these prayer times if you can? Because it's just such a, do your heart good to just pray together with other believers. And it's what the Lord wants us to do. How often we find in the four Gospels Jesus in prayer to his Father by himself. He needed and knew the importance of taking time out to talk with his Father. And in the early church, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says of the apostles that they devoted themselves, and that's the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That was one of the four essentials, prayer. And Jesus himself never, of course, had to pray that line in the Lord's Prayer where it says, "Forgive us our sins." He was teaching us what to pray, but he didn't have any sins that needed forgiving, because he was the perfect Lamb of God. He was sinless. But he was teaching us what we need to pray. So looking at these verses together, let's have a look under three headings. And the first one is, what we pray. This is a pattern that Jesus gave us, verses 1 to 4. So this is a model for all prayer, our structure for prayer. Jesus does not mention our posture. He doesn't say if we have to sit down or lie down or kneel or stand. He doesn't mention posture. He doesn't mention place or time, early in the morning or late in the evening or when we should pray. No, he talks about what we should pray. And he does this in three ways. Firstly, for what it says about God. Our prayer should put God first. Prayer is not meant to be selfish. It's not a give me shopping list. Our first priority in prayer should be for God's glory. Note the prayer says, "Holy is your name." It says, "Your kingdom come." It says, "Your will be done." All about God there in those sections. When we pray, remember, we're talking to God. We are to address God as Father. Or in Matthew's, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." As we think of God as Father, we must consider, whose Father is he? Well, predominantly in Scripture, God as Father is referring to God as the Father of believers. In John 1:12, we read, "To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." Believers are his children, and God is their Father. The fatherhood of God is conditional on the new birth. God is the Father of the redeemed. Today, as we sit here this morning, I wonder, is God your Father? Have you come to him and trusted him? Are you one of his children here this morning? If not, you can ask the Lord to be your Lord and Savior today, and God will be your Heavenly Father, and you will be part of his family. You can then pray, Father, along with all others of his family. How often today we hear of people misusing God's name, and yet here we are reminded that our Father's name is hallowed. It is holy. He is to be glorified. He and his name are to be respected and revered. The second thing it says in verse 3 shows us that we are to be dependent on God for our most basic needs, our daily bread. We are dependent on God's goodness and provision every day, and we pray for our daily needs, not our daily wants. We are dependent on God for life and breath and all things. So that's our daily bread. And thirdly, because of what this prayer says about sin. In this account in Luke, if you look at it and take the words in it, over 50% of this prayer addresses the subject of sin, asking for forgiveness for our sins and assuming that we forgive everyone who sins against us and not to lead us into temptation. Someone once said, forgiven people are forgiving people. And that is a good attitude to have. We are forgiven and we should be willing to forgive. We confess that we are fallen and guilty people. We make no excuse for ourselves. We simply ask the full, free, gracious mercy of our Father in Christ Jesus that will save us and watch over us and that has taken our place and borne our sin on the cross, as we've been remembering in the Lord's table. And there is a profession that we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Am I a forgiving person? If not, it sounds like the parable in Matthew 18 of the unforgiving servant, who was forgiven much by his master, but would not forgive his fellow servant his debt. Jesus says our Heavenly Father will treat us the same way if we do not forgive our fellow believers from our hearts. Then, secondly, let's think about, we've looked at what we pray. Let's look at how we pray, verses 5 to 8, and that's a parable that we told. In typical small Jewish homes of that time, there would normally be just the one room, and the whole family would sleep on the floor, huddled together for warmth in maybe a raised part furthest from the door. Often domestic animals would sleep in the same room but nearer the door. And for the man of the house to get up and answer the door to the midnight caller would certainly mean disturbing the sleeping children, to say nothing of the racket amongst the chickens. But in this story, Jesus told the man at the door refused to give up. So the man had to get up. An obvious lesson here is to persist in prayer. The man at the door kept on knocking. The shameless persistence and insistence of the midnight caller continued to knock at the door. Perseverance in our praying. And notice the tense of the verbs used in verse 10. Everyone who asks, the one who seeks, the one who knocks. This implies keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Ask is bringing your needs and requests directly to the Father. Seek is pursuing God's will for situations you're facing. Seek first the kingdom of God. And knocking is persisting in your faith, coming before the Father's presence and waiting for his answer. You know, not only in midnight emergencies are we to pray, but to keep in constant prayer with your Heavenly Father. Paul exhorts us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray continually, or pray without ceasing. So what we pray, and how we pray, and thirdly, why we pray. The principle he established in verses 11 to 13. And the key phrase and lesson of this story about the fish and the snake and the egg and the scorpion illustration from an earthly father is, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Earthly fathers who, for all their human sinfulness, know how to give good things to their children. The fish and the egg are good for food, but not the snake and the scorpion, which would do harm. And in the case with the friend asleep in bed with his family and being awakened by his friend in need at midnight, he also was a father, who even though reluctantly, he didn't leave his friend in need. If a human father gives his best for his children, you can be assured how much more so our Heavenly Father will do even more for his children. He has our best in mind. How much more we are encouraged to pray and ask our Heavenly Father. He is not reluctant to give us good things, but he is ready to pour out blessings on his children, and most especially with the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to all who love him and keep his commands. In John 14, 16 and 17, Jesus promised his followers, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." As believers, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, as believers, that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. We have God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling within us. Our Heavenly Father, much more than our human fathers, knows how to give good gifts to his children when we ask, when we seek, and when we knock. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely passage of scripture that we could go into for days if we wanted to, because there's so much in it. We thank you for this Lord's Prayer, this prayer that you gave us, Lord, to model on. Lord, we thank you for what's in it and how much it talks about you and glorifies you, and how much it talks about us and shows us that we need you because we're sinful. Lord, we just pray that you would help us in our prayer lives, each one of us. Help us, Lord, to concentrate on it and to spend time speaking to you, Lord Jesus, both individually in our own quiet times and also corporately as we come together to pray as a church and in different situations. Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that we can talk to you. Thank you the way you talk to us through your word and in the silence. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a praying people, and help us to be a forgiving people. And Lord, help us as we just concentrate on these words today. Just help us to mull them over in our minds and to think about them and to put them into practice, we pray. Thank you again for that disciple who asked the Lord Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And Lord, we pray that for each one of us. Teach us, Lord Jesus, to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.